Yeah.
You want to like him, but you can't.
Are you listening?
What?
Are you listening?
Did you bring me on this show to insult me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all don't want it with us, man. We straight gangsters over here.
Straight gangsters. Good morning and welcome back. You are listening to Scout Team Radio. We bring it to you hot and live each and every weekday morning, and it is a beautiful Monday. I am one of your gracious hosts. They call me Loudbeard.
You are the most egotistical, self-deluded person I have ever met.
I don't even know what that means. And the man on the other microphone, he is a great patriot. He's so patriotic, we should start calling him a great Apollo.
America, America.
Yeah, it's your boy, Chris America, coming to you live this Monday. It is a Monday morning, a beautiful Monday morning, where the sun will now rise later and go down into the night at around 8 o'clock. Loudbeard, and you do know what it means. You do know what it means to be the most egotistical, self-deluded beard on the entire planet.
Yes, I do. I kind of do. You're correct. Man, I hate that spring forward.
Nonsense.
It's the worst time of year, man. I feel like...
I think I'm the only person that likes it when the sun goes down later.
I hate losing the hour. I hate losing the hour. I really don't care about the sun coming up or coming down at any certain time
of the
day.
You're like, just whatever. Do whatever you want. Just
yeah, but
give
don't
me my
take
sleep.
My hour. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We'll pay it back to you in the fall.
It's too late then. It's too late. I don't get it.
Yeah, just like I feel like it's starting to get too late for the Orlando Magic, Loudbeard. Oh, man. This is a roller coaster ride. It really is. But that's what happens when you're a sub-500 team or right around 500 team. You're going to win some games, but you're also going to lose a lot of games.
Yeah, the Orlando Magic have been a little disappointing since they finally made it up to that 8th seed spot. So you're thinking, okay, the momentum is coming. But, man, they're losing some bad games. Lost to the Grizzlies last night? No, not pretty, right? Coach gets ejected. Evan Fournier gets ejected. And this team just falls apart. I believe they didn't score any points in the last 6 minutes of this game, or at least no field goals. They basically handed the game over to the Grizzlies and said, here you go. We really don't want to make the playoffs. You do what you will with this. Here's a win for you. It was awful. Absolutely awful.
Now, if Evan Fournier's name was, let's say, LeBron James or Kevin Durant or Draymond Green or, you know, anybody of that sort, do you think he would have been ejected for what he did last night?
No. No, it was pretty petty.
Yeah, if there's one thing I cannot stand about NBA basketball is that the rules don't apply to the superstars, and you hear things like, oh, you got to earn that call, or you got to earn that foul. Like, wait, what? What do you mean I got to earn that foul? And why does this guy get to drive the lane hard and charge on people, and he doesn't get called fouls, but anybody else does? The NBA, with their rules, and I guess basketball in general, is just left up to too much discretion of the referees on the floor.
Yeah, it really does, but... it's kind of what it is there. I don't see it changing. I don't see it improving. I don't see it getting any better. And a guy like Evan Fournier, I mean, he's a veteran in the league at this point. He's got to do a little bit better not to get that called on him, to not hurt his team in that way. And I guess if you're right, if he was a Kevin Durant or if he was a Steph Curry or if he was a LeBron James, he's not getting thrown out for that. But still, he's got to do better. And the Orlando Magic have to do better. This is a team that could get its first playoff spot appearance in, what, 6-7 years? And it looks like they just don't care. They don't want it. And that is frustrating as a fan. And you know what else is frustrating? If I was the fan of the Golden State Warriors and I saw my team lose to one of the worst teams in the league last night, that would be frustrating also, Chris America.
What are you talking about? It's not frustrating to lose to the hottest team in the NBA right now. We've been talking about it for over a week. The Phoenix Suns are straight fire. I don't know what they're doing becoming straight fire after they've been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, but they've been straight fire.
Yeah, bad decisions right here. Suns are like, okay, now that we can't make the playoffs, pressure's off. Let's just go out there and play hard.
Let's also not get the number one overall pick.
Yeah, let's kill our draft opportunities here. And I don't know, Devin Booker, 37 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, just killing it out there. I mean, this guy's a superstar in the making, but where's he been all year, right? Like, he's had good games, but, I mean, this team, the way they're playing right now, they could have been a playoff contender if they played like this all year. But why do you play all like this? It doesn't make sense. You're right. They're just trying to kill any chance of getting a high draft pick. But the players, they just want to go out and prove themselves. Now, Klay Thompson comes out after the game. I want to get your thoughts on this. And he throws some shade on the fans at Golden State. He says, hey, fans, you don't have any energy. Like, we need your energy when we're at the Oracle. We need you to come out and support us better. And this loss last night, or this loss when they had it, it was last night, but Klay Thompson's giving the fans shade on not being the energetic crowd that they need to be. Do you think that's the right thing for him to come out and do?
No, because the NBA, more than any other sport, other sports are catching up to the NBA. A little about 10, 15 years ago, the NBA decided they wanted a wine and cheese crowd. And so they've been building new arenas, putting in nicer seats, giving more amenities to the stadium, and therefore they can charge a whole lot more. And you don't have those loud, passionate fans anymore when you do that. You have the high-powered attorney who likes to stay professional and, you know, keep himself, you know, like on an even keel all the time. So he's not going to jump up out of his seat and scream and get loud and crank up the noise when you tell him to. He's going to sit there and sip on his wine and enjoy his brie that he got served to him, that got brought to his front row seat. And that's the crowd the NBA has priced themselves into. So I think NBA players either are going to have to learn to play with a less excited crowd or take less money and tell the owners to charge less money to the fans so they can bring back those loud, passionate, raucous fans that we all know and love.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's coming out and saying they're lacking energy. Like, they've had energy in the past, but just this game they don't have any energy. And I think it's not fair to the fans.
No,
as
it's
far
not.
As, it really isn't, because you're a team. You're the best team in the league. You've basically got 5 all-stars right here in your lineup. And you're losing to a bad team in the Phoenix Suns. Now, they're red hot, like you mentioned. And, yeah, you aren't getting the same ruckus fans like you always have. You don't have these, like, just crazy loud stadiums. You have more of the even-keel crowd. But, I mean, if you go out and you pay money and you pay the amount of money, like you're saying the NBA is charging for these tickets, and you're going to see Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond
right.
Green and Boogie Cousins, and you're thinking they're going to come out and put on a show, and they play flat, and they don't do, I mean, really anything, then you're all of a sudden you're like, well, what am I getting excited about? You guys need to put it on the floor to get me excited. It doesn't go the other way. So I think it's crap that Klay Thompson came out and called out the fans.
And there's a couple of things here, right? So if we were to, you know, go back in time to 4 years ago, 5 years ago, the average ticket price for a Golden State game was probably far, far less than it is right now. And it's only going to get more expensive when they move into their new arena next season. And then you had the fact that how many times does Golden State actually lose at home to where Klay Thompson has to feel frustrated with the crowd? Like, I'm sure the crowd has been flat during their wins, but Klay Thompson's not going to say anything about it because they won. So now you're losing, and then you lose to one of the worst teams in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns, and it culminates to him, I guess, losing to lash out on the fans. Lashing out on the fans for your poor play is just poor taste to me. It's not my fault that you played bad.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is just frustration coming out after a loss like that. I mean, the Warriors have been struggling as of late. We all believe that they're going to turn it on when it comes playoff time, but, you know, eventually they're going to have to turn that switch, and it just hasn't happened yet. And when you take a big loss at home, which this is one of the toughest home teams to play against, and you lose to a team like the Phoenix Suns, I mean, as a player, I'm sure Klay is just getting frustrated. He's just thinking, what is it? What is the problem? And he's kind of diverting it off on the fans, but he needs to take that responsibility on himself. Now, he had a good game. He had a good game. I believe he had 25 points. He played hard for the Golden State Warriors. Now, what the problem is, I don't know. You know, Boogie Cousins is taking some heat. Maybe he's hurt the chemistry. You know, he started out real hot when he first came on board, but it does. It changes up the entire chemistry when you add in different superstars. Now, a big story from last night, Kevin Durant leaves the game with like 6 minutes left. The game was tied 91-91, and he twists his ankle, runs straight back to the locker room, get it checked out. I haven't gotten an update on the injury report yet on how Kevin Durant's ankle is doing, but it didn't look like a very severe strain when it turned, but that's something for the Warriors to watch. I mean, we're getting near playoff time, and if a guy like Kevin Durant misses some time and how this team is playing, this could be a rocky playoff run for the Golden State Warriors.
And I think it'll be good for the NBA if that happens too. You know, I think we need that sort of thing.
Yeah, we do. We need to see some of these. We need to see something different, right? I saw an article, I think I retweeted it or tweeted it out, about how we're finally going to get a fresh new playoff finals in the NBA because the Cleveland Cavaliers have statistically been eliminated from the playoffs. Well, you know what? I think we all knew about, I don't know, 4 months ago that we're going to get a fresh new playoff when the Cleveland Cavaliers weren't going to make a push. We knew that, but I'm glad people are writing articles about it just to let us know the Cavs aren't going
to
make
us.
The playoffs. Yeah,
yes.
It's a friendly reminder.
Well, I have a friendly reminder, Loudbeard, that the Boston Celtics are undefeated still to this day since we talked about them and told them how they're on the struggle bus. They listened to our episode. It became the locker room bulletin board material heard around the world. Scout team criticizes the Boston Celtics, and they have been straight fire since they happened. 3-0, they beat the Los Angeles Lakers. They've done this all on the road, on a West Conference or a West Coast road trip out there. Normally when teams out east, especially ones that are struggling, have to go across the country and do like a one-week road trip out west, they don't do very well, but for them to come out 3-0 with a chance tonight to go 4-0, are the Celtics back?
Oh, man. You got to bring this one up. Celtics are back, and we did. We gave them that motivation. I think we were both on that train where we thought the Celtics were going to implode and this was going to be the end. And there's just too much talent on this team. They're just too good, and they've pulled it together, at least the last three games. They've pulled it together, and they're showing what they're made of. Whether they're back or not, I don't know, but I am excited that they're playing good. And, again, they're going to make it right going into the playoffs because that's what we need to see, right? This Eastern Conference playoffs is going to be so exciting because you've got teams like the Celtics that are pulling it together. Teams like the Sixers are playing good. Milwaukee's playing good. Toronto's playing good. It's going to be a fight to the finish, and Boston is just, they've laced up their gloves, and they are ready to get into this. They're going to have a puncher's chance at making the finals this year because they're playing good again.
Well, a team that they played in the LA Lakers, they don't have a puncher's chance because they've thrown it in the towel. They shut down Ingram and
Lonzo
Ball, right?
Shut down now. Yep, yeah. They shut down Ingram. They shut down Ball. LeBron's getting the minutes cut back. I mean, this team, yeah, done and done. Yeah, statistically, they're not 100% out of it, but yeah, they realize what this season's how it's gonna end, and they said, you know what? Let's just try to get the best draft pick we can get. So if they keep losing, it's probably good for the program and good for the city because they can bounce back next year after they trade away all their young talent and try to go get somebody this offseason.
Let's hope so for them because not a good start for the LeBron James era in Los Angeles. Definitely not the way Everybody was predicting it to go. Now, nobody predicted them to win a championship, but pretty sure we didn't see them shutting it down and being basically giving up on the playoffs in March.
No, not at all. I mean, I wouldn't have predicted this. And honestly, they were sitting pretty before LeBron James got injured. And once he got injured, then he was out for 16 games, something like that. And that team just couldn't pull it together. And then when he came back, he was just not the same person. And, I mean, I hate to say this, but is age finally catching up to LeBron James? Is this the LeBron that we're going to see moving forward?
I think age and a little bit of impatience. He doesn't have patience for his teammates to get better. Now, you mentioned the injury. So he gets injured, and they didn't do terrible, but they didn't do bad. Like, they were still winning a couple of games, and people were like, oh, man, the Lakers are, you know, they're not lighting the world on fire, but they're holding their own. When LeBron James comes back, it's going to go right back to being the LeBron James show, and the Lakers are going to go all out. But what you saw when LeBron James was gone is he's going to this game, and he's in this locker room for this football team, and he's doing all this, like, he's drinking wine and coming into the stadium, and then you start hearing these rumors, these rumblings of, like, LeBron James wants AD. He wants AD. Well, how is he going to get AD? Well, then it comes out that he wants to trade basically the whole entire young core for AD, and that, I think, is what really just pushed the Lakers over the edge to where they couldn't bounce back from. And then LeBron James comes back with this lackluster defense, lackluster play. Like, he was still putting up points, but for LeBron James, it's not hard to drive the lane, pick up the foul like we talked about because he's the superstar, and get three-point plays all day long. So, I don't know, man. I think it's just that's short of the long end short of it.
Yeah, that trade, that thing messed up. Two franchises basically done after that potential trade that never happened. New Orleans was done after that. LA was done after that. You're right. That was it. That broke it right there.
Like, I think if LeBron would have just come back from injury with none of the trade talks, none of just him being on the sideline, cheering on his teammates, being a good teammate, but instead he comes back and there's trade rumors. Is the coach going to get fired? What's the future of the Lakers? And if you're everybody else but LeBron James, you're sitting there thinking, like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, why am I here?
Yeah, the entire roster was up for sale. And you're right, the coach, Luke Walton, a respected guy in the NBA. I mean, he was a player. He was on that Golden State coaching staff that he helped when Steve Kerr was out with the back and migraine and all those other issues that he had going on. And all of a sudden, he's a nobody, right? Well, it's like, okay, we can't wait to fire this guy. It's like the LeBron James effect. He's wreaked so much havoc on this organization that it just fell apart. So Magic Johnson has to go into damage control this offseason. He has to figure this out. He has to get this going, and whether it's redoing everything around LeBron James or sitting LeBron James down and saying, you're not going to do this to my franchise, one way or the other, Magic Johnson has to figure this out and get this organization back, because this isn't what the Lakers are about. Now, I think both of us are happy because we're not big Lakers fans where we're like, okay, it's okay to see a little bit of struggle in this organization. They've had so many great years, Kobe years, Magic Johnson years, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar years. Now it's time for them to take a break and have a few bad years. There's nothing wrong with that. But a guy like LeBron James, his whole legacy right now is like, okay, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing right now, LeBron? You're just, you look, it's a bad look for you.
Yeah, and I think we can now put the rest that LeBron James can lead any team to the playoffs or to the finals. I always hated that he got that moniker, like, oh, look at, he's dragging these guys to the finals. 2007, yes. None of the teams since he went to Miami have been this bad roster that he had to drag to the finals. I always thought it was so much disrespect to the other guys that were on the team, the Kevin Loves, the Kyrie Irvings, you know, the Tristan Thompson, like all those guys that were on his team. They weren't this bad. And we see that, no, you need a full team around you, and maybe LeBron James should start complimenting those players and those teammates. Or maybe not LeBron, but the media and fans in general need to do a better job of saying, all right, yeah, LeBron James is great, but he's also had help. It's not like he's had a bunch of scrubs around him.
I really like that Saturday Night Live skit where they were like, LeBron and the other guys.
And the other guys, yeah.
Yeah. I might still have that soundbite. I'll have to check that out. So, Chris and Merrick, I'm going to switch gears on you a little bit because there's some football talk I need to talk to you about. Because late Friday, early Saturday, I saw this story break. But Antonio Brown has finally traded
to the Bills, right? Everybody said he was going to the Bills, and that's where he's playing, hard-earned city. He's used to the cold in Pittsburgh. He's going to be on the Bills, and then they're going to draft DK Metcalf, and it's going to be the greatest duo of all time. Oh, man, this is going to be exciting, man. Good. Josh Allen's going to have a great wide receiver core soon.
Yeah, that's not really what happened.
Wait, what? What are you talking about? I saw on Twitter everybody said that Bills and AB were locked in, locked up.
They were locked in until AB said, I'm not playing for the Bills.
No?
Why would he want to play for the Bills? Who wants to play for the Bills?
They got great beaches there.
They do. They have beautiful beaches. Beautiful weather. And honestly, that's one of those programs where your career goes and you say, okay, I got better when I went to the Bills. But
I mean,
no.
I think Terrell Owens' most memorable years was when he was with the Buffalo Bills.
But nay, sir, nay. There is only one other franchise that receivers can go to and their career can basically disappear. And what franchise would that be? Would it be one with a coach with a 10-year ridiculous million-dollar contract? Would it be a franchise where a guy like Randy Moss went from being the best receiver in the league with the Minnesota Vikings, going to this franchise, disappearing, and then coming back and being the best receiver in the league for the New England Patriots? I just can't remember what the name of this franchise is.
It's I don't know what city they're playing in right now. It's up in the air.
But yeah, is it the Las Vegas Raiders?
Oakland Raiders, the
LA Raiders, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what city they're at, but they are the Raiders, right? They still have that really tough "we're the Raiders"
attitude. I'm excited for this John Gruden AB marriage because I sit there and I think back to another time that John Gruden had a top wide receiver in the league, a diva type wide receiver, a guy who was flashy, a guy who was not afraid to speak up his mind. And that was one Keyshawn Johnson. We all remember that marriage lasted forever. They won so many playoff games together. They lit the world on fire. The Super Bowl was won by them over and over again. The rest of the NFL could do nothing about it. The Keyshawn Johnson, John Gruden marriage was nothing but rainbows and sunshines and unicorns, and I think it's going to be the same for Antonio Brown.
Sure. Yeah. That's exactly how I remember it.
Yeah. It went exactly like that, didn't it, Loudbeard?
Well, actually, it kind of didn't go too well. But it's going to be different. This time around, it's going to be different.
Right. Because John Gruden's a better man now, right? He's older, he's more mature, he's wiser. He definitely doesn't say anything ridiculous like Nathan Peterman is the best quarterback in this draft. He would never say something ridiculous right that.
No, those words never would have come out of his mouth. Well,
never.
Well, maybe.
Until
but now he's got a big-time wide receiver. I keep seeing how this is a great fit. Out there in the world, a lot of analysts, a lot of articles, a lot of social media, people super excited. Yes, it was a good deal for Antonio Brown because he's getting paid a bunch of money.
Yep.
And the Raiders didn't have to give up a truckload of first-round picks, right? They gave up a third and a sixth. That's not a bad deal for a big-time number one wide receiver for the Raiders.
Right.
So, and that seems like a good deal.
Yeah, and he gets to be the star receiver that he wants. A lot of people assume that Juju Schuster-Smith was, or is it Juju Smith-Schuster? I never remember which one goes first. But Juju, he was kind of stealing a little bit of AB's thunder, was he not? And a lot of people assume that was making AB a little uncomfortable. And so he won't have any of that out in Oakland.
Yeah, he's got nothing to worry about out there because I don't even know if I can name a wide receiver at this point You know, they traded Amari.
Yeah, Amari was gone. Wasn't there one point where, who was that guy from Green Bay that went over there?
Jordy Nelson went out there, and then he retired after like five games.
Because he completely disappeared.
Because Gruden takes star wide receivers that are, you know, aging and really does well with them.
I remember when Jordy left and the Packers said farewell, all the Green Bay fans and Aaron Rodgers, I think, at some point vocalized like, oh, they can't do this. Yeah. That was a good move by Green Bay.
Yeah. Unless it's just that Oakland curse.
Yeah, John Gruden curse.
Curses wide receivers.
I think it's funny that everybody has amnesia with John Gruden. Like, they only remember 2000 through 2002. Like, his 2 years at Oakland and his 1 year that he won the Super Bowl in Tampa. And they forgot everything else that transpired after that. They forgot all the missed playoffs. They forgot all the bad play. They forgot the Keyshawn Johnson and John Gruden drama. Because if I were to compare AB to any player that John Gruden has coached, Keyshawn is it.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. And it is. It's diva to diva right there. And John Gruden, maybe he's learned his lesson. Maybe he's learned how to control a diva wide receiver. But can anybody really control a diva like AB? Not at this point, I don't think.
No, the only way you control diva wide receivers is you win. You get them the ball, you have them have success, and you have the team to have success. That's how you keep diva wide receivers in control. When you're losing, when you're not getting the ball, when your quarterback stinks, when your offensive game plan stinks, when your defense can't stop anybody, that's when these guys kind of don't have the maturity to say, you know, hey, great job, guys. We're trying our best out here. We're going to go out there. They don't have that Larry Fitzgerald gene, that whatever it is that he does that is always professional, always on point. They just, for some reason, they kind of implode emotionally. And I hate saying that about wide receivers because other players do this too. Quarterbacks do this and stuff. But for some reason, wide receivers are the ones that get the diva moniker.
Yeah. And I remember a guy like Dez Bryant on the Cowboys where they would always say, like, get him started early and often. Once you get him the ball to him a few times, he'll really start lighting it up. Like, well, when he doesn't get thrown to in the first quarter, all of a sudden he pouts the rest of the game.
Yeah,
that's what these wide receivers do.
Yeah.
This is how it's become in the NFL, and it's some of them are professional. You bring up Larry Fitzgerald; he's like one of the guys that I think we can all look at and say, the dude's had 20 different quarterbacks, and he has been great no matter what. It doesn't matter if they're down, they're up. If it's first quarter, fourth quarter, the guy comes out and plays hard every down, every time.
Yeah, he should be the one that has been demanding a trade the last 3 or 4 years.
I mean, seriously, look what he's been given. I mean, Kurt Warner's the only real good quarterback that has been put around him. And the rest of the time...
Him and Carson Palmer had an okay... I mean, they made it to the NFC Championship game whenever they played the Panthers. Whenever the Panthers won the Super Bowl, I think it was 2015, so that's going on 3 years now. 4 years now. They did okay. They made it to the NFC Championship, and then they got blown out. But, yeah.
That's a good point. Carson Palmer.
But it wasn't as good,
but not great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they had to give up a couple first-round picks to get him from Oakland or something. Or maybe Oakland gave up first-round picks. Like, Carson Palmer was around.
That guy
got around. Just saying.
He gets around, round, round, round. I get around. Yeah. So, I think wide receivers... They do get a bad rap as a whole because I think there are more professional, locked-in wide receivers than there are divas. Like, there's probably, at any given year, there's probably 2 to 4 different divas, I think, in the league, depending on the year. But for the most part, most wide receivers are not head cases.
Okay. Well, speaking of good wide receivers, the Bucs are shopping DeSean Jackson.
Okay.
And he's a semi-diva.
Now his talent's not there, and so it's not there like it was 6 years ago. So I feel like when he becomes a diva, nobody pays attention because nobody cares about players that don't do well, right? We don't really talk about those guys.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
you know where he would go that would make everybody mad?
Where?
But so you know where he's going to end up?
Oakland.
No, New England.
Oh, yeah, and he'll have the best year of his career.
And he'll have the best year of his career. You won't hear any of that diva stuff, and they'll win the Super Bowl.
Are we overselling New England, though. I feel like anytime there's a guy with some sort of problem, we're like, oh, he just needs to go to New England. It'll fix everything.
I mean, I think there are, because there's a lot of failures there, right? So Chad Johnson didn't really do anything when he got to New England, and it wasn't really a problem as far as Diva goes, but he also wasn't productive. Who was it last year? I'm trying to think of that guy's name from the Browns.
Oh, Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon. He was like, he had some semi-success, but then they didn't really take care of his issues because he ended up having to leave the game halfway through the season.
Yeah. Now, they bring on a lot of challenges. I feel like Haynesworth went on there for a little bit, and then they ended up cutting him.
I mean,
they don't tolerate a whole lot, so if a guy is willing to be on kind of the straight and narrow, then they're okay. But if he comes in and doesn't do well, Belichick will cut him. They don't want to mess with that stuff, so there is a little bit.
And I think that's what goes into why we don't really notice the bad stories, because they absorb the bad story.
Right,
by winning playoff games, by winning Super Bowls. Like, you're like, oh, that's right, Josh Gordon was on the New England Patriots. Oh, well, they won the Super Bowl. Who cares?
Yeah, good point.
Now, if it was like they cut Josh Gordon and then they missed the playoffs because of low offensive production, then that's when you bring up the storylines of, oh, Josh Gordon was a head case. They should have never signed him. He cost them the playoffs, or he cost them the Super Bowl. But that's not what New England does. They absorb the shock of, you just cut one of the best wide receivers in the league, and yet you didn't miss a beat. You still went to the Super Bowl, and you still won.
Every time. Now, I have another football question for you, Chris America.
I'm ready to hear it.
Did the Florida State Seminoles do just enough in this offseason to become the best team in the state of Florida? We'll find out next. Been listening to Scout Team Radio for a long time, you know that myself, Loudbeard, has placed a bet or two in his day. That's right, I've lost the beard bet, I lost the romper bet, but one place I don't like losing is when I bet money, and I can easily do that at MyBookie. That's right, you can go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 12OZSports, and get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Hey, guess what? That is a lot of money. Do it.
When I'm working hard, I build up a thirst for sports. That's when I grab a cold 12-ounce sports radio. Ah, 12-ounce sports radio. Quench your sports thirst.
Hey, what's up there, listeners? This is your friendly neighborhood Loudbeard, and I'm here to tell you that there's two type of people in the world, those that are on a podcast and those that want to be on a podcast. And if you are one of those out there that want to be on a podcast, one of the first decisions you will need to make is which podcast host you want to use. That's right. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, you need to check out Podbean. Here at Scout Team Radio, we have been using Podbean since the very beginning, and we absolutely love it. They are easy to use, and they have affordable options. Just go to podbean.com/STR. That's right, Scout Team Radio. Podbean.com/STR to get started today. What are you waiting for?
Hey, everybody, it's your favorite patriot, Chris America, and I want you to listen every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and on replays from 11 a.m. to noon of Scout Team Sports. Listen, George Washington did not cross over the ocean blue in 1492 to defeat the Nazis, so you can listen to the same tired national clickbait sports stories. So once again, tune in to us every single morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and then we replay from 11 to noon. I will see you there, and God bless America.
Thank you all for listening in once again. This is Scout Team Radio. I'm Loudbeard. He's Chris America. We bring it to you hot and live each and every morning, Monday through Friday on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. We also take our live broadcast, we record it, and we drop it as a hot podcast. That podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or anywhere you can find a podcast. That's right. Just download us, rate us, subscribe to us, review us, do all of that stuff on your podcasting host. Now, we also like to get social, right? So hit us up at Scout Team Radio. If you hit us up on Twitter at Scout Team Radio, we will read your tweets on the air. We will interact with you. We get social. We like to have fun with our listeners. Also, I want to thank Barn Burner Network. They are a podcast network based out of Toronto, Canada, playing Scout Team Radio each and every day. So thank you, Barn Burner. All right, getting back into the nitty-gritty, back into the sports world, back to where we want to be. Right, Chris America? Oh, he fell asleep. He usually does that to me in the mornings, but that's okay. I can live with that. He needs a little nap every once in a while because he gets tired. But big news out of the college football world. It looks like the Florida State Seminoles have picked up a graduate transfer, Wisconsin's quarterback Alex Hornibrook. He transfers to Florida State. This guy's got a lot of experience, a lot of games under his belt, and now he will come in and compete. He will compete right away with Blackman as the starting quarterback for the Florida State Seminoles. So the Seminoles make a big move. This is a power move in college football, and they are trying to stay relevant. But I don't know if it's enough because there are other teams in the state of Florida right now that are hot. You have got UCF, you've got the University of Florida, you have got FIU, you have got all of these great teams. Maybe not FIU, but
you got Lane Kiffin at FAU.
FAU, you got Lane Kiffin. That's right. You got Miami. They're always back. But this move, bringing over Alex Hornibrook from the Wisconsin Badgers, is, do you think this will help Florida State this season?
Is Hornibrook an offensive lineman?
No.
Then no.
They're done.
You're right. I mean, the story for me has been this whole entire time, and it's not even just hating on them. If you don't have an offensive line to block for your quarterback, I don't care if you put Tom Brady back there. If they said Tom Brady gets to play for the Florida State Seminoles, I'd still be like, well, looks like Tom Brady's going to have to up his insurance policy because he's about to get hurt.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, man. I don't get it. You've been saying it. Why has this need not been addressed? Yes, they do need a quarterback because we know that DeAndre Francois has been released from the program after all of his shenanigans, and they do need a quarterback, but a quarterback is never going to be successful if you cannot protect him, and yeah. That is right now the biggest problem there. Now,
and it wasn't even that they didn't get good offensive linemen. It's just they didn't get any offensive linemen. Sometimes the best thing about an offensive line is having depth. You don't just need good offensive linemen blocking, but you need bodies behind them so that they can get a rest, so that if they get dinged up a little bit, you can, you know, have them out for a few plays or even a couple of games and then bring them back in fully healthy and ready to go instead of being like, well, I know your leg is broken, but we got nobody else, so get back out there.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, this is the insider secret, Chris America. You need to listen up because there is one coach out there that has figured this out.
Who's
that? That is one, Steve Spurrier. So Willie Taggart needs to take notes from Steve Spurrier because Steve Spurrier is a legend, and he knows how to build a football program. And what is his record now in the Alliance? It's much better than everybody else. I can't remember what it was. Do you remember what their record
well,
is?
Well, here's the thing. Is Florida State played 12 games last year, and Steve Spurrier's played 5. So they ended up with the exact same amount of wins.
Would that be 5?
Yes, 5-0 are the Chiefs and Steve Spurrier. They are red hot. Right now, the Birmingham Iron was going to be a test, supposedly, for the Apollos. It's the best defense, according to everybody. in the league, but really, really Birmingham Iron has just been beneficiary of the fact that they've played other teams that don't play offense. And the Apollos, well, they didn't score with ease all the time. I think they kicked 3 field goals throughout the game. So the Birmingham Iron kind of bend but didn't break, and they put the clamps down. But at the end of the day, Steve Spurrier and the Apollos scored over 31 points again, or over 30 points again. And I think they're probably the only team to have that many games. I think they have 4 games over 30 points. I think the Express were the only team to hold us under 30.
Yeah, 31-14, big-time victory. And you're right, this was supposed to be the second-best team, the big challenge here for the Apollos. Apollos are hot, 5-0. I don't know if it's too early to say it. I'm going to have to knock on wood, but could this be the perfect season for the Orlando Apollos?
Well, it looks like they're heading that way, but somebody that might be throwing a wrench in that wheel will be Aaron Murray and the Atlanta Legends. The first time we played them was week 1. We destroyed them, but they didn't have Aaron Murray starting. I don't know why they didn't have Aaron Murray starting, but they decided to sit Aaron Murray. And, the Atlanta Legends looking hot since he's come in to play.
I have to do this real quick.
What are you?
An idiot sandwich.
I have to eat the idiot sandwich. I was all on the express train.
Yeah, you were.
Oh, man. This was a close game. This weekend had some really tight football games here with the Alliance, and this is what makes it fun. It ends up being a game-winning field goal that decides this game, 23-20, and Atlanta gets the big victory, but it wasn't like it was a blowout. It wasn't like Memphis Express just rolled over. This was a hard-fought game. The Legends were just a little bit better at the end. And you're right. Murray, Georgia Bulldog legend, is out there doing some good work. And you're right again about the quarterbacks. Why were these guys not starting to begin with? Why did you not have Murray as your starting quarterback? Sometimes you wonder with these coaches when they're kind of getting their eye for talent. What are they thinking when they have somebody that good sitting as a backup and their starter is so bad? It's just mind-blowing. It is absolutely mind-blowing.
Yes, and Loudbeard, another mind-blowing thing that happened in the AAF this week is the San Antonio Comrades went up big, 26-0 going into halftime.
The Comrades, they're Russian.
Oh, Commanders, sorry.
Ah, my comrade.
Oh, comrades, come play with me in San Antonio. San Antonio Commanders, I almost said it again, took on the Arizona Hotshots. They went up 26-0, but Arizona came storming back and fell short 29-25. That's who the Orlando Apollos have to play next week, is the Arizona Hotshots. Commanders were really the only team to challenge the Apollos so far this year, and we don't have to play them again until playoff time, I don't believe. Yeah. So we don't have to play them until the playoffs, but we do have to play the Hotshots. Hotshots start off as everybody's best team. Week 1, I remember everybody coming out saying, oh, the Hotshots are, they're the hottest team in the AAF, and I told everybody, no, man, it's the Orlando Apollos, and that's not even me being a homer. But they've been struggling. They've been struggling, Loudbeard, and I think they've lost 2 in a row, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, no, they've lost 3 in a row. They start out 2-0, and they've lost to Salt Lake, Atlanta, San Antonio. Man, the Hotshots could go from first to worst after next week.
Yeah, the Hotshots have this electric offense, and you could see it with that comeback. They make this rally. They can score a lot of points, but they also disappear at times. So it's a very hot and cold a team that you can't survive that way. You need consistency, and they're just not a very consistent team. You don't go down 26-0 and then lose 29-25. I mean, this is just, it doesn't make any sense. This team, just they have to pull it together and put a complete game together. They can't be really great in the second half and not in the first half. And that's what they've been, is they've been hot and cold, and that is not a recipe for success in the Alliance.
No, it's not, and they're going to have to bring their A game, and so is Orlando. Orlando has to realize that they have a team coming in that's that's bleeding out, that's desperate, that's going to try whatever it takes to get back to the winning side of things. And we will be there, Ladbeard, covering that game. So make sure you follow us on Twitter at Scout Team Radio at 8 o'clock Saturday night. We'll be back covering the Orlando Apollos as they come back to Orlando.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to be a fun one. Last game of the weekend, we got the Fleet up against the Stallions. Salt Lake's trying to get themselves back in that winning column after they started out the year kind of rocky. But they fall slightly short as the Fleet win 27-25. And this was kind of a wild game. Lots of interceptions thrown by that quarterback of the Salt Lake Stallions. Otherwise, this should have been their game.
Yeah, it should have been, but it wasn't. And yeah, that's the way it is in football, especially in a short season like this AAF is. Now, I'm not sure, does every team make the playoffs? I'm not sure how they do it. Do you know?
No, I think top four teams make the playoffs, if I remember
correctly.
Okay,
so do they have a committee that comes in and votes, and then we all argue about it? Is that how that works?
Nope, nothing like that. None of that. Who would ever want something like that? That sounds stupid.
Because that's awful.
Why would you even think, like, a committee of
no
people?
No self-respecting sports league would ever bring up that system as their way of deciding championships.
No, I mean, it's redonkulous.
I would just love to see people argue about strength of schedule in this league.
And, again, recapping it, think about this. 29-25, 23-20, 27-25, three games decided by less than a score, and all three were exciting finishes. Great for the Alliance, great for the league to have this much. And the only game that wasn't decided by 1 point is the Orlando Apollos, who are an undefeated team that everybody wants to watch because they are so exciting. So the league has got it going on. They're like Stacy's mom.
Stacy's mom has got it going on.
Mm-mm-mm. Good times,
good
Chris
song.
America.
Good song.
Good times, good song. You're doing good. Hey, another story, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, go into baseball. You know, I had the story about the Cy Young pitcher Snell from the Rays getting shellacked the other day by the UCF Bulls in an exhibition game. Now, I've got a different story
about
Snell.
Do you realize what you just said?
Shellacked.
No. You said something even worse.
What did I say?
You said UCF Bulls.
Oh, I did. USF Bulls, I thought I said.
That's going to be a riot.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that saddens me. I can't believe I said that. USF Bulls. That's what I meant, and that's what I said. I'm going to have to edit this when it goes back out. So Snell, I can't believe I said that, though. Snell is not happy with his raise by the Rays. Okay, that's kind of sounding funny. He will only make $573,700, which sounds like a lot in normal people world. But in baseball terms, when you are a Cy Young pitcher, that is not that much money because that is only a tick higher than what the minimum is. And in Major League Baseball, when you have a pitcher that does that well, you can actually do a little bit for the guy just to help him out. But the Rays, they take the high road, and they say, we don't have to. So here's a quote from Snell. The Rays have the right under the collective bargaining agreement to renew me at or near the league minimum salary. They also have the ability to more adequately compensate me, as other organizations have done with players who have similar achievements to mine. The Rays chose the former. Bad look for the Rays?
I think so, and I kind of got in this discussion on Twitter last night about salary caps and everything, and somebody brought up our Rays, and I said, look, the Rays being bad and not having people show up has more to do with the Rays' ways of doing business than it does location or fans or them being a small market, because in 2008 when the Rays were winning, the Trop was filled out, and I'm sure the Rays made a ton of money. And everybody knows in business, you got to spend a little money to make a little money. And we've mentioned before that we're not going to go out to Tampa Bay on a Tuesday night to drive out there and see them. I'm not going to still see them if they're really, really good on a Tuesday night, but I just might think about it. And that's just me, but I'm guarantee you there's thousands of other people who would say, man, if the Rays were good, I'd make the drive. And now you have a Cy Young pitcher and you don't want to pay him, so therefore he's not going to want to be there. What are you going to do when his contract is up? You're probably just going to trade him like you do everybody else that you've had on your team. And when you're constantly having turnover and turnover and turnover of players, it's hard to get behind a team like that. And then when you're not making the playoffs, it makes it even harder.
Yeah. I just don't like this look. I mean, it's showing that this organization doesn't care about their players.
They don't. And they don't care about their fans either.
That's true, too.
Because
it's really a hot mess.
If they make Snell happy, then he'll want to stay, and he'll want to be a part of this team. Now he's got this bad taste in his mouth, and why would I want to sign there? Why would I want to come back? Why would I even want to give you a hometown discount when you didn't take care of me when I was taking care of you?
Yeah, no, not good, not good. All right, well, we got 5 minutes left. I guess I can talk a minute about golf. That's your favorite sport.
Yeah, who won this past weekend?
Francesco Molinari.
Oh, the big name guy.
Yep, he's an Italian. Oh, he had a major win under his belt a couple years back, so he is a known name, but not a big-time name. It wasn't Rory, who was competitive, and there at the end, I think he ended up finishing sixth, maybe fourth or sixth overall. I can't remember which one, but Molinari ends up with a huge final round, 64, to claim the Arnold Palmer Invitational here locally. Yep, great tournament, and this guy thunders back. He started early on the final day because he wasn't near the lead, but because he had such a big final round, he takes the championship here, or the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He takes it. Now, side news in golf, it looks like Tiger Woods is on track to be back for the Players' Championship. Everybody loves a good Tiger update. It's funny because diehard golf fans are kind of over Tiger Woods. They're just tired of hearing about him because all he is like a news circus with the media. And, yeah, I just got to mention it because I'm part of the media now. This is the circus. Tiger Woods could be back, even though he had to withdraw from the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He could be back for the Players' Championship.
Well, if golf wants to go the way of NASCAR, then they should get rid of Tiger Woods. But right now, Tiger Woods keeps golf in the news. I just asked you who won the golf tournament this past weekend, and because I didn't know. I would have to look that up, and I guarantee you I'm in the majority, a vast majority at that, who feel that way. The golf heads, the guys that really love golf, they know. But that's a very small minority in this country, and if Tiger Woods would have been at the tournament and he would have won this weekend, we all would have. We would have led with that story.
We would have. Now, you're talking about tournaments. The tournament that people are aware of is the March Madness NCAA tournament, and we are getting close, Chris America. And we have some small teams finally getting their opportunity to make this tournament, aren't we?
Yeah, we had a few smaller conference tournaments this weekend. So a bunch of teams that won those punched their tickets. And now we're going to see the conference tournaments of the bigger schools or the bigger conference tournaments start punching in their tickets this weekend. March Madness starts this weekend with all the conference tournaments, and you got some teams on the bubble that need to make a big-time push throughout these tournaments to make it, or they're going to be playing in the NIT, my Florida Gators being one of them. They need this late push, or they're going to be playing in the NIT this year.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the Gators. I do want to say congratulations to schools like Bradley, like Liberty, like Gardner-Webb. These are some of these smaller schools that are now in the tournament because they had won. And it's good seeing this because any of those teams could be that Cinderella story. That's the big thing with March Madness, right? Which no-name school is going to make a run? Is it a team like Gardner-Webb that I've never even heard of?
Who's going to be the UMBC of this year?
Exactly. What was the one with the old, like, nun lady that was supporting them?
Loyola Chicago?
Yes. That was the big one last year, too. There's always one of those that sneaks up on us. So March Madness, we got to build on the excitement.
It's going to be awesome, man. I can't wait. It is March time. You know, we roll into March Madness. That rolls us into opening day for baseball, which rolls us into the NHL and NBA playoffs. And before you know it, we'll be in the dog days of summer and crowning a new NBA champion, a new Stanley Cup champion. It's going to be great. But, Loudbeard, we're all out of time, my man.
What?
Yep, it's that time. Roll the music.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, man. Monday comes at you fast. Comes at you fast and hard.
Hit you like a wet spaghetti.
Oh, man, I hate it. Especially when it's hot straight out of the boiling water.
Ooh.
Burns you.